I may be hosting today's podcast, but that doesn't mean I have any idea what I'm talking about. Welcome to Trailblazer Talk. I'm your host, David, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Andrew.
Hello.
And Tony.
Booyah!
So I've obviously been away for a couple weeks, and one of the reasons I've ultimately been away is I just haven't really been playing too much of the game recently. But last week, Tony had asked me to come back, and it really got me thinking about one of my old favorite podcasts, a podcast called Everybody Needs the Hobby, where it was basically two guys talking about Warhammer 40K, where one of them knew a whole lot, and the other knew absolutely nothing. And me and one of my best friends, Charles, used to listen to that podcast all the time, and we really enjoyed just the ridiculous off-the-wall questions we'd get out of this. So I'm going to play the role of someone that has literally no idea what's going on in Star Rail tonight. Speaking of which, we're in Penacony, aren't we?
We got there.
We finally made it. We did. And I am stoked. I'll be honest. I was really... I was really sick of some of the other locations, especially the LaFu. So, it's just nice to be in a new area. Love the mystery. I love the kind of the unsettling sense of not being sure what is happening. I'll admit I don't know how far you folks are in the story, but I am not particularly very far. So, I'm enjoying the kind of the unsettling, what the heck is going on here kind of vibe I'm getting from the game.
Yeah, there definitely is a serious vibe of that there. I actually just hit the to-be-continued mark, 30 minutes before this podcast, so.
Yeah. Cool, so you are definitely a little bit ahead of me.
Have you returned from the dream?
No.
Okay, so you haven't done that. There's a kind of like...
Wait, you returned from the dream? You gave away your spoiler. No, I'm just kidding.
Wake up. Spoiler, you wake up.
Yeah. I don't want to get too far into any spoilers.
Yeah, no, that is completely fair.
But I will say that I'm happy to talk about anything that you basically encounter in the first 10 minutes. So introduction of some of the characters.
So you're gonna get in the dream in those first 10 minutes then?
No, yeah. I mean, I think you're aware that you're going to a dream, right? I think it's a dreamland. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
But I've definitely enjoyed the mystery. I mean, it's early, but I'm definitely looking to see where this goes.
Yeah, I'm.
I think it will have a good payoff.
I've seen on Reddit that supposedly this is supposed to be a very uplifting,
wholesome,
heartwarming story where no bad things happen.
Understand why you would not think that, Dave.
Set the scene for me. What's going on right now in Penacony?
I'll tell you. How about this? Let's set some boundaries. Let's talk about because Andrew is further than I am, but let's talk about kind of the point. I think it's fair to talk about the point at which you arrive at Penacony and are trying to check in, right? So that gives you an opportunity to kind of arrive, meet some of the people, experience some weirdness on your way. So there's a couple of weird incidents, but the sense you get, or the sense you get, is that there are some people at Penacony who are very much trying to tell you, man, this is just a great place. Everything is great. Everything's awesome. We're going to have a big festival called the Charmony Festival. Big concert with the beautiful Robin, who is just, a big star. And nothing, it's just going to be a good time, man. Just going to be a good time. And you very quickly... first of all, there's a sense of foreboding just when you arrive, but also there are other folks there who have also showed up, and are also kind of have this sense of foreboding that they, and they also have their own kind of agenda that they're pursuing, and you don't know what that's about. I will say, I don't know if this gives too much away, but I did think it was interesting how many conversations that we saw that did not have the Trailblazer as a participant. I thought that was very
you know those are my favorite types of conversations.
Yes, they're very interesting. It's a little bit weird in the sense that, you know, technically you as the player now know something slightly more than your character does. And so that's a weird situation. You don't know much more because it's everything's said very vaguely and mysteriously. But you know some things are going on. And
foreshadowing.
I will say the only other time that I can really recall us doing that is the Lynx Pela quest.
But the Trailblazer was still there, just hiding in the shadows, watching.
Sure, but like you are also like watching this from like a like these are your friends, right? Like they are your colleagues, they are your friends, you're buds with them, right? So it's not totally, you know, surprising that like they wouldn't necessarily fill you in after the fact. So I could kind of justify the idea that maybe this is like something that's told to you later. There's a scene that at least I'm thinking of where you're definitely watching two people that would have no reason to talk to you after the fact. And it definitely feels like you're peering in on something. So I thought that was interesting.
So obviously, like, you know, the 2.0 patch, you're meeting a lot of new people. You're starting to build out a lot of the brunt of what's going to be the storyline for the next several months.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is Chekhov's gun effectively in 2.0? What's the thing up there on the mantelpiece that you're waiting to be fired? Because like you started to get into the foreshadowing of Penacony. Where does it go from here?
The problem is like my thought would be slightly colored effect. I'm a little bit further than Tony through, but mm-hmm.
I suspect. So I was half kidding mostly kidding when I said, Andrew, you revealed something when you said you wake up. But like there was a possibility that maybe I was picturing, you know, the issue here in Penacony is that like once you went into the dream world, you were trapped. You know, so I didn't know what was that about. Like,
or maybe your inception, you just keep going deeper and deeper.
Sure. Like, who knows what's going to happen there? So I'm not really sure what the Chekhov's gun is. I will say that I don't think, and this goes into a broader point I make, I think everybody that we've encountered has a...
Is sus?
Yeah. Again, like literally everybody that we've encountered to the point where I really enjoy, I don't want to reveal too much, but I really, really enjoyed the appearance of, you're like thinking, you're walking around, you're like, this is all sus, this is super weird. And then, you know, someone, an old friend shows up and you're like, oh yeah, that's about right.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I was so surprised and not surprised.
Right. And I was like, yeah. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's multiple Chekhov's gun, if they've all got their own agendas, but I am not quite sure. I mean, clearly there's something going on at Penacony that is behind the scenes, I think, going to turn out to be a little bit horrific. And I'll put it that way. I think that we talked a little bit about it being like a cult or potentially, you know, some sort of like, I don't know, something going on there. And we're going to discover the true nature of Penacony at some point. And I think that's what we're going to have to deal with.
So I know.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know that there's been a number of new trailers coming out, like lots of new character introductions. What are you considering to be the most successful characters that have been introduced in the story thus far?
Oh, I have several answers to that. That's a good question. I'm actually debating on what I should do. So I'll give everybody a breakdown of kind of how the first week has gone for me. Cooler Don Hung is on the banner right now. I don't know if you folks remember this, but I actually did my polls live on the podcast, I think, right?
And you got the non-cooler one, I believe.
I did get Don Hung, but it took a lot of jade. And I spent almost all my jade, and I did not get his light cone, his signature light cone. So then when he showed up again, I was the first thing I went for. I was like, I got to get his signature light cone. So I did get his signature light cone, but I still have, like, I've been saving up for a while, and I got his light cone pretty quickly. So at first I was like not all that into Black Swan, who is a character we've met in previous trailers and then another trailer today. I'm intrigued by her. I don't know quite what her deal is. I have heard that she is, some of the people in the Discord were telling me that how well she synergizes with Kafka. So from a pure team building perspective, I am like very much debating on whether or not I might want to pull for Black Swan. Then you have kind of the set of characters that we've met so far that have kind of Genshin tie-ins, which I appreciate. So Acheron, who is kind of the, I think has a pretty clear
tie-in to debate again.
What was this?
This debate again?
I think that's Raiden. I think that's the Raiden Shogun. I think Acheron and Raiden Shogun. They even share the same voice actor in Chinese. So I think that's pretty deliberate choice. And she seems pretty cool. Acheron seems pretty cool in Panicone so far. And then I don't know if you picked up on this, Andrew, but the Kamisato brother sister in Genshin very much seemed to be like the, was it Sunday and Robin?
Well, I haven't got that far in Genshin, so I picked that up.
But I was like, oh, I think I would like to get Robin because I'm a huge Ayaka fan. So she seems cool. Plus, she's a singer. I think that would be cool if like her music was like part of her kit. I don't know. We'll see.
Get someone else that Servo can rock out with.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the band back together. Get Pela.
Pela, Servo,
Robin. And who's the fourth?
Oh, wasn't it the
yeah.
Dunn. Yeah. Wasn't it Dunn?
Yeah, it was Dunn.
Yeah, it was Dunn, the shieldy guy.
Actually, wait, Brunier, I think she made a guitar. She was part of the band at one point, actually.
Brunier, or was it the mother, Kokolia?
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Kokolia, but Kokolia had just made the instrument.
Okay, that's...
Yeah, I don't think she was ever part of the band.
Yeah.
It's cool to hear that, you know, Black Swan is there to sort of boost up Kafka. I had also heard that there was some new sets available that were pretty good for DOT teams. But like I said, I haven't really been super following things recently.
I've been busy kind of building a lot more characters to compete in the pure fiction, which Dave, I don't know if you know about, but they introduced like a new version of the endgame that is like... It is, if you have a Herta Himeko team, it is a end game that is like purely built for the Herta Himeko combo. So
your Herta team dream is finally reality now.
If you go to Pridwin, he now has like two completely different, you know, tier lists, and Herta is now S+ tier.
Tables have turned.
Yeah, but it's all about just like defeating as many enemies as fast as possible. And I'll admit, like, it's wicked fun. Like, it is just really satisfying to try to get as many as you can. I feel like I was, I wish Genshin had this mechanic as well, where they tried different endgame styles with the intent of trying to, you know, have you build characters differently to do what they do best, right? Like, Herta is someone who's never going to be a single target damage dealer. Like, she's just not going to be that. So you just can't, you couldn't use her in endgame, in the memory.
The mirror.
Class, right? The mirror, yeah. So they, so rather than just say, well, I guess Herta's just not useful for endgame, so don't build her, they've come up with an endgame where she's like really thrives, right? I wish Genshin would do the same thing with some of the characters that are considered not very good in terms of endgame content. But yeah, so I've been spending a lot of my time just building out my roster of characters more and more, so I have more flexibility with all the different modes of endgame and all the different elements that I have to, you know, focus on. Yeah, so just I have so many different types of teams now, depending on the content.
Yeah, it's certainly nice to hear that there's a lot more options, especially for players that have favorites that historically haven't succeeded. I'm guessing, though, that like Arlen is still terrible, right? Like
Arlen is still bad. Arlen is still bad. I think that is an issue with Arlen, right? Like, I think that's an issue where they...
There's no situation where he would excel, unlike where Herta, like, there's a serious situation where she would excel. It's just the game wasn't giving that content.
Yeah, and I think if you gave them the opportunity, I think they would admit they kind of messed up with Arlen. I think they what's the opposite of buff? Nerfed. They nerfed him too much when they nerfed him in the beta.
It is an interesting design challenge, though, right? That I know Mark Rosewater has talked about, he's one of the designers for Magic the Gathering, is when designing cards for Magic, sometimes they also have to design cards that are actively bad. And like having those bad cards acts as a good way to both, you know, sort of contribute to player skill, where like players have to recognize that some cards are not playable. But there's also an archetype of player who likes that bad character, who wants to take the absolute F tier character and get them to do things that they absolutely should not do successfully. So it may actually be the case that they had really made Arlen in this terrible sort of spot, like very purposefully. Like this may not be the last instance that we see of this. Hopefully we're not going to see like, you know, lots of five stars that are absolute garbage. I mean, I can't imagine saving for multiple patches and throwing all of your wishes at a terrible character, but
who's the worst five star right now?
It's usually Yuan Qing. Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Yuan Qing, definitely.
But you didn't intentionally get him. You didn't save him.
No one's intentionally pulling for him.
Right, you lose for him. Right.
Well, I was thinking in at least in Genshin, like some people wanted Daya, right? Like,
I would have killed for Daya. Yeah. I was so excited for Daya when Daya showed up in 3.1. I was like, that it's all about her. I'm saving up for her. This is happening, and I'm lucky that I did not. I was in the mode of like, I'm going to wait and see what the reviews are before pulling on anyone anymore. And the early reviews were so bad that I was like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to pull. And then it was, yeah. And I have her now. I got her off the standard banner eventually, but like, I haven't even built her yet. And it's just, it's, I guess the thing they really messed up there was not that she has, I mean, she has bad, she's got bad multipliers, but the biggest thing was I really feel like they messed up her kit in a way that's like unfixable, right? Where like her kit itself is not fun to play. That's really kind of inexcusable. And I don't think they intended to put her on the standard banner either. I think that was there's a story there. I would love to learn someday what happened there.
I think the one thing that we're always going to see out of these sort of gacha style games is whenever there's been like active nerfs to characters or things like that, people have freaked out, said that they're going to do credit card chargeback, stuff like that. I think it's always going to be the case that if they want to do like buffs and nerfs cleanly, it's going to be through gear and it's going to be through events. Like that's how you're going to target characters that people are excited about, like someone like Herta, but just haven't been a good fit.
Yeah, and I think that's this is a great solution. Like, I think if they were able to find, I'm skeptical they could do it, but like if they could fix Dea through an event or end game content or artifacts or something, great. But I suspect it's not possible given the way that I think her kit is kind of broken.
Mm-hmm.
Herta was a character who was fun and was interesting, but was not suited for particular end game content. So I think that's fixable. Arlen, I don't know how you fix that. Else.
Well, why don't we examine some of the challenge space? Because that might be a way that we can figure out, like, is Arlen going to get good at all within, you know, the 2X patches? So, like, every time in HoYo games that we end up going to new places, we're typically met with brand new types of enemies that we're facing that have to have new types of counters, new mechanics, that sort of thing. What's the solution space look like right now for Penacony in terms of enemies? Like, where is it today, and how do you think that's going to change during our time here?
The thing with Arlen is I'm not familiar enough with his kit to know, like, the reasons why he's bad. But
in this case, I'm not even talking directly about Arlen, because, like, Arlen may continue to suck this, you know, this entire place. But ultimately, like, there's new mobs, right?
Yeah, there's two enemies I thought had more interesting mechanics. There's one where, like, if you hit him, he goes from angry to happy, and he buffs you on his turn. But if you hit him again, he goes back to angry. So you almost want to, like, if you can control how often you hit something and you hit him like an odd number of times before his turn is up, then he helps you out. He's kind of a regular monster, so he's not really very strong, but at least it's an interesting mechanic there, where someone who just attacks everything an even number of times, you're not going to do as well. And then the other one, which is, I think the boss character that you kind of run into, where, like, you can control... I'm not even sure how the mechanic works, because I only fought him once, and I'm not sure how... Well, like, he can, like, capture your characters and imprison him. You have to do stuff to get him out, but there's ways to maybe manipulate who gets captured somehow. I'm not quite sure. As I said, I only fought the monster during the game rather than through an event, or I'm sure it would be an MOC boss at some point.
They haven't introduced, like, a Memory of Chaos specific to Penacony yet, right?
No, because who knows, it might be in the next MOC.
Yeah. Well, no, but like the blue one. What's the blue one called? It's Memory of Chaos, but before that, the Memory of...
Oh, that was the other mirror.
Mirror of Chaos? Memory of something? I don't remember. But anyway, I it would be nice to have that just to get some experience fighting the other... I'm really early. I'm really early in the game, so I haven't actually done a ton of fighting.
Yeah, there's actually not a lot of fighting for the first 20-30% of the content, for the most part. Yeah. Like, even once you get into the dream, there's not a lot of fighting for a while. You're just kind of chilling in all the Jazz Star Reel. What was it? Honkai Jazz Reel vibes here. I saw that remark, and I was like, that's a good remark there.
I do like the theme. I do like the setting. I think it's cool.
Feels like these places have a billion things you can do, and I've not even found them all yet.
Yeah.
Even running one with Topaz, I'm sure I missed a few chests.
Yeah, I think certainly this at least feels like a set piece, that there's going to be a lot more opportunities to build in lots of new events, something that's better than just a empty place full of snow. Although, you know, man, there it really felt like we had quite a good number of events there that at least felt a little bit better than some of the Lawfu events, but maybe I'm just such a huge fan of the museum. I don't know.
Museum, all your everything else. That, yeah.
No, I did like the museum. I'm looking forward to the next big event on the on Panacone, so that'll be interesting.
Start an amusement park.
Not to change the subject, but as long as we're talking about events, I have been playing a ton of the Simulated Universe lately. I was curious, Andrew, if you had made any progress on that front.
I haven't really. Well, you mean the Gears, the Golden Gears one?
I'm not even talking about Golden Gears. I'm still trying to get through, you know,
Swarm the previous Disaster.
One, the Swarm Disaster, yeah.
Did they change it so that the Swarm Disaster counts towards your weekly?
Yes.
Okay, because I know that they did it for Gears. I love how they do that.
And I was it's so much better now because like 95% of the time I can use that instead. Like before, where you had to like run it every week, you had to do two
Simulated Universes
every week. And then I would lose my motivation to go and do the Swarm Disaster. Now you can just do the Swarm Disaster and get, I think, like 12,000 points from a complete run. And I'm not even doing stage 5 yet or whatever. It's a lot.
Even stage 4 was kind of a rough.
I can consistently lose stage 4. So I've beaten it once. I'll put it that way. I've beaten it once. And I'm getting nervous because I have I'm starting to get most of the stuff. I have like most of the things that I'm still really struggling.
Level 5 is only unlocks like there's only like one objective that requires level 5. And it basically involves you winning with multiple paths on 5. I've only been 5 once.
So you must have gotten pretty far then in the Simulated Universe.
I got everything but the hidden Eon paths.
It took me really long to figure out how that works.
Yeah, no, I didn't realize it for a long time, and I still haven't got any of them unlocked.
Yeah.
At least I know how to unlock them, but...
So, for those of you who don't know, this is we'll do Tony's stupid question. The when you get the choice, like at the end of the first plane, to like answer, like they give you a question basically, and they're like, how do you handle this situation? And then you have choices, and then they're like backed by a certain path.
Yeah,
that's what does it. You have to pick you basically, there's a counter in the background for every time you pick certain paths.
Yes,
and once you pick a certain path 20 times, it unlocks the final 4 of that path. But it's like they're not all equal. It's kind of random which ones show up. So like it's really hard to like figure out to get there. So that's what I've been focused on. And I haven't even done the gear stuff.
Yeah, I only started that, but then I got distracted by the fact that now I need to do. I wanted to get some of the orb and rope stuff. So I started doing that more.
Mm-hmm.
So the planar sets. So I haven't really gone back to Golden Gears for a while.
I do wish I could farm. I mean, I at this point, I'm at the point now where I am annoyed that I have to do a full Simulated Universe run just to farm those sets. It is annoying.
Yeah, I can admit that because at this point, Simulated Universe is basically just a cakewalk for the most part.
Yeah, and like it takes just long enough that I'm like, ugh, I don't want to do this. It takes like 10 minutes or so, and I can race through it, and then like at the end of it, finally fight the boss to get the things.
Make the choices that you do occurrences, so you don't do battles or whatever. But still, it takes, especially because it's not like Swarm Disaster where there is a chance of failure in Simulated Universe. There is no chance of failure. You know what I mean? Like,
I have failed it. I did once take the Simulated Universe a little too casually, and I did get to the final boss and die, and I was annoyed at myself. I was like, oh no.
You turn on autoplay, and Payla just kept doing her skill attack and skill attack. That.
So here's the thing. I don't know how Yan Cheng can be such a bad character, but then be such a powerful boss. Is it me? Like, I always get my butt kicked by him.
I think that's just video game bosses. Like, once you beat them and they join your party, they turn out to be kittens. There's not a lot you can really do about that, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think your point, though, about some of this content just not being content that you want to do, I wonder how much of that, especially over the past handful of months, has caused people to lapse in their own gameplay. Like, the question that really sits on my mind right now is, as a lapsed player, what are the things that you would try to tell someone else to convince them to come back, either for me or maybe for some of our listeners that just haven't really been playing the same as when they started?
I'm not fully through with it, but I'm anticipating Penacony to be a really great story.
I'm already enjoying it more than the Lafu.
Oh, definitely. 100. Like, yeah, I barely touched the surface at the moment. It feels like a breath of fresh air.
I mean, part of it as much as because I've been following all the trailers that have come out. Like, they're all... I'm on this hype train for Penacony as it was coming out. And, like, man, they were just... Someone cut them a blank check for all these trailers.
They went nuts. I mean, yeah. I think we had on the list like five last week or 2 weeks ago. Now we have six more.
Yeah,
it's just unbelievable. And like some of them are long.
Yeah,
some of them are like really involved. I will say that like the one I enjoyed the least was the I don't want to say enjoy it the least, but the knowing the universe.
Yeah, no. That was weird, but I was like, but sure, like, let's hire Nobel Laureate to talk about dreams. Like, sure, why not? Like, that. And then they did the same thing with another one where they hired an astrophysicist to talk about stuff.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not sure which.
It was interesting.
I'm not sure what my favorite one of all of them were, though.
I think the most involved was the It's Always Night in Penacony.
Oh, that thing was madness. The stand-up comedy bits. Like, I actually found the dedication to the stand-up comedy way more funny than the jokes that were so bad. But it was great.
Is just to be clear, one of my favorite shows is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Is this a take on that?
I don't think so. I thought it was more just they were trying to channel that stand-up comedy bit of, like, two actors or comedians going at each other while making bad jokes for the audience.
I don't know. The name was I'm finding on Reddit somebody even mentioned it. It's got to be a reference.
I mean, it's that. Also always in Penacony because the city of dreams or whatever.
No, it totally is. But like the structure of the name, It's Always Night in Penacony versus It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like it's just I don't know. I can't
maybe
imagine.
You just need any nugget about that show, yeah, right?
I think it's a reference. I think it's a reference.
It'll be a reference if you make it so, I guess. You can will it into existence.
I thought that was over the top crazy.
Yeah, that...
I also thought it was really interesting how they were talking about a parallel universe where Honkai Star Rail existed.
With Las Vegas.
Yeah. Also... They put the clock on the sphere, the little clock guy on the sphere in Vegas. Do you guys know what the sphere is?
No, I'm not familiar with
that. I'm aware of the sphere. Isn't it aggressively losing money and changed hands and all sorts of stuff?
It's just like a giant LCD screen. But the biggest.
Mm.
I wanna like look it up, but it's like. It's like a concert venue. It can seat like 20,000 people. But like the external building is a giant spherical LCD screen. And you can see it from like all over Vegas. It was $2.3 billion to build. And it's, I don't care that it's losing money. It is awesome. Like it's just cool, right? It is just really, really, really nifty looking. The inside is also a giant LCD screen, so they can do really interesting things. But anyway, they put the clocky on the sphere in Las Vegas, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of limited time ads go out on the sphere, but I don't know, like what seems to also happen is somebody will like take a picture of the sphere from a helicopter, and it makes me wonder, like, are people even paying for like long-term advertising on these things? Are they paying for, you know, 2 minutes of ad space that only plays once? It's
I would think that it would replay occasionally. I don't know.
Be on loop.
It is. It is. I don't. 36 stories tall and 516 feet wide. So it's not like it's like a, you know, it's not a full sphere, but it's like a giant dome. But it is, it's massive. I don't know. I just think it's really cool.
Hmm. Maybe some of our listeners know more about the sphere. And if you're listening to right now and you're not part of our Discord channel, you could email us at trailblazer.talk.podcast@gmail.com and get on in that Discord channel. Tell us all about the sphere, all the other good things going on in Pentagoni. I don't know what's going on.
I've been getting better about making sure people can join the Discord. So if you are interested in joining, make sure you send us an email. Everyone that asked for an invite should have an invite right now. And I just checked again.
So obviously, like, having not experienced some of this, I don't know what to ask that I haven't asked. So I'll just be direct. What sort of things haven't we chatted about that really stuck out to you thus far about either the story, new characters, new gameplay? Like, what had the greatest impact on you that we haven't touched on yet?
So I think I'll bring up 2 points. They're also happened very early on, so I'm fine, you know, mentioning them. It's like, one, Mark's remarks about Rome, and everyone is confused about this, especially Pom-Pom, which makes me wonder, is there an Earth in this universe or not?
I wonder if that was, I think she said when in Rome, right?
And Pom-Pom just like confused.
I wonder if that was just like a fourth wall breaking joke.
It's also possible, but usually those aren't voiced. Usually they're usually like Trailblazer dialogue choices that doesn't really matter too much. Not necessarily voice dialogue. Hence why, because Walt would know what Rome is because he's from Earth in Honkai Third Rail. But where is Earth in this universe?
Third Impact, right?
Probably never get old through, but still.
I do love Honkai Third Rail.
Stay off it.
What about you, Tony?
I mean, I've really enjoyed the characters. I think I've mentioned this before. I also like that we're kind of in a situation where other than the folks you're with, we're not even sure who you're supposed to trust. Like literally everyone there, including the people who are telling you they're your friends. You're
like, oh, especially them.
They're all sus. I will say that I'm looking forward to getting back to, I will be happy to find out that some of these people truly are friendly. I definitely felt like with a little bit with the LaFu and definitely with the space station, there's a lot of unsavory characters and people I did not personally like that are like on our teams. And I'm looking forward to more likable characters that are on my roster.
I mean, so far, like, there's definitely one character is like, no, I do not like this character at all. This character is dangerous. Bad news. Stay away. But not going to say who, but still.
Yeah, it's interesting. For example, we all got a free Dr. Ratio, right? Like, so we all got Dr. Ratio. He seems like he's, not only is he a weirdo, I don't know that he's a very likable guy.
But he's kind of on your side, too. Like, he's
kind of, maybe? He wants help. Know.
He's certainly more on your side than some of the other characters.
Herta's just not very nice.
She doesn't care about you.
No, she's just not like you know. And then, you know, we're not really sure where the Stellaron Hunters stand. We've got the, who was I going to say? Topaz and Numbi. I'm a total Topaz simp. But like, what, I'm not really sure if we should trust her. It's just like a whole, like, people generally, the folks at Bellabog, thumbs up, love those people, right? Everywhere else, a little bit more complicated folks.
Do you think that that's just because some of these other characters don't have the same depth? Is it because we had different experiences where, like, we were trying to fight along their side? Because, like, especially for the Bellabog story, we're trying to unite a planet, and then later on, we're trying to keep that sort of united front to prevent them from losing the planet that they just gained. Like, there's, it feels like there's maybe a lot deeper emotion in the Bellabog story, and
yes,
more connections.
Yes, I think that's true. But you can't convince me that I think Dr. Ratio is kind of a jackass.
No, he can be a friend like that, but just also be somewhat unlikable. But
that's not like he is unlikable.
Like, that seems like that goes with his incredibly insufferable know-it-all attitude of, but I'm also, if you also want to help you, you know, not be ignorant.
But it's not, yeah, I don't know. It's not even that he's like just insufferable and kind of a jerk. It's that I'm not sure what his motivations are. Because as we found out at the end of the last event, like, he was being a little sus there too, right?
Well, he was trying to find out who was actually behind it all, and he.
It was him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he wanted. Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry. It was Skrullum. I was mixing up. Skrullum was talking. Was the one trying to.
Skrullum's the only person involved in, like, the Genius Society, the IPC, anyone that I'm like excited for Skrullum. Like, he seems like a cool guy. He legitimately seems like a nice guy.
Yes.
Right.
And they even remark about this, like, some of the characters remark how, yeah, he's probably the only genius you want to hang out with.
Rame, I was so excited to meet her, and she's, like, nuts.
She's a villain, basically. A moral villain.
Kind of. And I'm surprised, like, in Genshin, most of the characters that can be on your roster are generally good people and have redeeming qualities. And then there's Honkai, which it just seems like, it's a crapshoot. Some of them are likable. Some of them maybe are actually your enemies. We're not sure. Like, it's just very interesting.
They all have they have different goals, but for this moment, our goals align. Therefore, I'm on your team.
I don't know. We'll see. I think that was my biggest complaint about the game in, like, the last three patches, because I didn't feel like there was alignment with the people who are on my roster. Like, I didn't feel like these were my friends.
So as we look forward to next week, what should listeners expect? Should we be expecting for the two of you to completely finish up the story, start getting into that? Like, where's it go from here?
So I think we should save the spoiler episode for week 5. Does that make sense to you, Andrew?
Sure. So this is week 2?
This is week 1, right? I don't know. It released the 6th, right?
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, so this is week 1. Week 3 would be to the 27th, and then we could do the spoiler cast on March 12th. But I think next week, maybe we can...
get halfway through the...
Halfway through and talk.
Like, I think my remark would be halfway through, like, when you return from the dream.
Sure. When you return from the dream, which apparently is something that you do. We will talk about the stuff. Also, I will have explored a lot more of Penacony. I'll have fought, I assume at some point I'll have done some fighting, some farming. There is the whole, we haven't even talked about the little guidebook that you get, that new mechanic.
Oh yeah, that thing, your little photo album almost.
Yeah, so there's still, like, plenty to talk about,
and all the mini games.
Let's aim for getting kind of like the first act of the journey done.
Yep, but I will say through, I've definitely enjoyed what I've seen in the Penacony so far.
Yeah, no, I'm. It is a breath of fresh air. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the next several releases where we kind of get all this fleshed out. I think it'll be good. I appreciate now that we have a period of this plus two more releases where we are going to get significant story updates.
Yeah.
Instead of basically what happened last time, which was a big, you know, burst of story with 1.0 and then just very little from then on.
Well, they kind of doled it out very slowly, and they doled out like bad. They made bad breaks for when those story breaks were.
And it was too slow. It was too little. You know, it was just not substantial.
Well, let's see how you might feel about that when you hit the to be continued, and you do what I did, was go, what?
So when you hit the to be continued, was that the end of this release, or was there more?
Well, there's more stuff you can do after, but that's the story. It ends there for the moment.
Okay.
All and right. As I kind of, when those words show up, I go, what? Like, I just said that out loud.
Was it at least at a good cliffhanger?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That'll be good.
It wasn't like the end of the LaFou there, where you hit like missed the epilogue.
Yeah, that was so bizarre. Anyway. All right. Well, I think that's generally what we wanted to talk about today.
Well, let's hope that Hoyo keeps continuing to be generous with the story. We don't end up with too many of those Fight Club events.
But don't worry, it'll be a wholesome and uplifting story.
Yeah, so very, very wholesome, very positive. No bad things will happen. Everybody at the Trailblazer Talk team, I hope you have a wonderful next couple weeks enjoying all this new content. Again, if you want to join the conversation, reach out to us at starrailpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us at Twitter at that's not our email at all. starrailpodcast@gmail.com. Oh my gosh.
What's Twitter?
We should register starrailpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
But
anyway. Yeah, our Twitter is starrailpodcast. Yeah. So just go to one of those things. Send emails to both. It'll be fine. No. Eventually, it'll
send
get...
Send the email to trailblazer.talk.podcast@gmail.com.
And you can excellent get access. Work. What a great group effort. Well, we hope everybody has a wonderful time out there blazing those new trails. We'll see you next time. Bye, all.
Bye, everybody.